You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is John Selba from Max and Benny's, bringing in some delicious treats for our show tonight, as he always does, the great cookies that you can find at Wrigley. And are they at Wrigley, the United Center?
Wrigley and the United Center right now, yes. We're still working on the others.
What's the other one called? The G-Rate? The GR, what's it, yeah. The great?
I don't even know.
Comiskey. Yeah. Is it Guarantee Rate?
Guaranteed Rate.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. And Dr. Sandy Goldberg of A Silver Lining Foundation. She is the mastermind. Can I call you the mastermind behind A Silver Lining Foundation?
I told you I'm going to come here all the time so you can introduce me. You just make my evening.
The genius that is Dr. Sandy Goldberg. She, along with her husband at the kitchen table 15 years ago, decided that men and women who have nowhere else to turn for breast cancer health should have some place that they felt safe, where they knew they could be taken care of. And I know that, and you've helped people who perhaps have other medical conditions. I had a woman I referred to you who had ovarian cancer at the time, or cervical. But women's health, I talk about it a lot because women are hesitant to take care of them. Not hesitant, but there's so many other things that they're doing in their lives. You know, they just don't go to the doctor as often as they probably should.
About 5 or 6 years ago, I would have said to you, yeah, they don't go to the doctor as often as they should. Now I'm telling you they don't go to the doctor because they can't. And that's really a very strong component, frankly, of what's wrong with the healthcare system today. When you were referring to this lady, and I remember very well who you referred, is that we have a program at A Silver Lining Foundation in which we call it the Chicagoland Cancer Information Coalition. And it's a group of 24 participating organizations. And if we can't help, one of our participating organizations can. And it really sort of closes the loop around people who need access. And really, I think, who just need some time to talk to somebody right. about what's bothering them. And you used a word that I love that I'm going to use, and that is safe.
Safe.
To make people feel safe.
Because she, the woman I referred you to, she was afraid to go back to the doctor. She didn't want it to be on her medical records that she had cancer because she didn't have insurance, and she didn't want to, this is before the Affordable Care Act came in, she didn't right. want to have the pre-existing condition and then not be eligible to get coverage. So she was trying to find a way to get coverage and then go kind of backtrack. People, I remember I was hit by a car when I was in my 20s. A car ran over my foot. I had to dive out of the way, and I was afraid for them to call the ambulance because I wasn't sure how much you have this idea right. of how expensive it's going to be, rather than like, oh my God, save my foot.
Well, there are institutions, medical institutions, where you walk in and you will be refused care unless you can pay right on the front end, and the charges are listed there.
Yes, they have a chart.
Yeah.
How do you make a choice, right? You're like, could I have the blood transfusion but not the surgery, not the blood transfusion?
Well, and it's very interesting because people are making the choice, cutting their meds in half, taking yes. them every other day. We were talking about that before we went on air mm-hmm. in terms of the cost.
Yeah.
And again, what we try to do is to level the playing field, that everyone, at least where breast health testing is concerned, and certainly referring people who are in need regarding other situations, health situations, but where breast health testing is concerned, that we can help.
And when somebody ignores their body, because I mean, there are sometimes indications you can tell that something's not quite right. Are there symptoms that women should pay attention to that in particular when it comes to breast cancer?
I think the most important thing, and this goes counter to what you might have been hearing now, and the listeners might have been hearing now, regular breast self-examinations. You know your body better than anybody else does. And if something doesn't feel right, that's when you need to reach out. I think that women feel things and, again, are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to find out. I'd rather not know. Probably one of the other things that you can do is lean forward. Look at yourself in the mirror without a bra on. Are your breasts the same size? Is one warmer than the other? Can I use the word nipple? Is that okay?
Please do.
Okay. I mean, are your nipples the same size? Are they the same color? Is there any discharge? I would look at all of that. I would pay attention, though, very significantly to those factors that I can control, or any woman can control. It's her diet, her exercise, alcohol, smoking.
That's another thing that I wanted to talk about, was that we kind of count on doctors to let us know when something's wrong. But before you get there, taking care of yourself is, and when I say listen to yourself, you know, if you've been having too much sugar, if you've been eating, you know, drinking too much alcohol or smoke, I don't know, the smoking goes without saying. But there are things that we should be mindful of our own bodies.
again, we live in an era of rationalization. You know, it's okay, I'm having a hard time, I'm working too hard, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. If we make small changes, and you and I have talked about this, small changes. Are you having two glasses of wine a night? Have one. Then have one every other night. If you're smoking, there to me, that is a non-negotiable.
I agree.
Absolutely. No smoking.
I didn't look at
all.
You, John, because I thought that you smoked. I was just looking at it. I know you don't. I just was like,
John just got this panicked look on his
like,
face.
Why is she looking at me when she says don't smoke? I'm just saying in general. Smoking is non-negotiable.
That is non-negotiable. But there are certain factors that we can't control. And also, I want to interject, anything that anybody reads, you can prevent cancer. Don't listen. You can't. What you can do is lower your risk factors. There are some aspects that we can't change. We can't change being women. Obviously, we're going to get the incidence of breast cancer is much higher in women than in men. You know, you can't change your age. The older you get, the higher incidence of breast cancer. In my age category now, it's 1 in 8.
Okay.
Will be diagnosed. And then, you know, there's the aspect to some extent of family history.
Right. And that was the thing was that, you know, my grandparents, my son just did a genealogy report. And, you know, I don't think about it very often, but I never met any of my grandparents. They all passed away before I was born. And so when Griffin was asking about, like, how his grandparents died, both my maternal and my paternal grandmothers died from brain tumors.
Mm.
So that's scary.
It is very scary.
It's very scary. So there's that. But it's important to know so that you can, again, you know, you may not be able to prevent it, but you can decrease the risks.
Exactly.
Through diet, through exercise.
Exercise is very good. Certainly not smoking and certainly limiting alcohol. I mean, there are other factors as well. But I think what happens is that when we present people with this whole list of stuff that they don't remember, these four things you should remember.
These four things.
Yep.
All right. I shall remember them. We're hanging out with Dr. Sandy Goldberg, and we're going to bring in Steve Dale and some of the folks. I think there's a veterinarians convention in town, so we're talking about health with you as well when it comes to you know, having pets and what they do for your heart. Do you have any pets?
Do. Have the world's meanest cat.
The world's meanest cat?
Meanest cat. Loves her dad. Can't stand her mother. Her name is Lucy. I call her Lucifer.
Oh, I kind of love that.
I kind of
love that. John, do you have any pets?
I do. I have a dachshund, a 13-year-old dachshund.
Oh, what's the dachshund's name?
Shorty.
Unbelievable. I love that. We're hanging out with John Sobel of Max and Benny's over by there up in Highland Park.
In Northbrook.
Northbrook. I've heard it both ways. I'm kidding. It's in, we're in Northbrook.
We're 461 Waukegan Road in between Lake Hook and Dundee on Waukegan.
On Waukegan Road. And so that's up there, over by there. And go to maxandbennies.com for all the great food there. And also, I'm guessing you have a lot of great pictures of the cookies that you do. You'll be at Wizard World this summer?
Of course.
Excellent. I know last year was so cool. You had to meet Carrie Fisher and you had her the cookie and everything for the Star Wars.
We met Carrie Fisher. We met John Barrowman, and he'll be back again this year.
I know. Well, if he comes to your booth, you make sure that I get to be there too. I love John Barrowman.
And John Cena. Mm-hmm. So we had a fun with the cookies last year, and we're going to do it again this year.
You have amazing cookies. We have to go to the news, and when we come back, we'll hang out some more with our guests. 312-981-7200 to join our conversation, to join your conversation, as a matter of fact. And why I love a soul. I think this is great theme music. For our next segment, we've been hanging out with Dr. Sandy Goldberg, the genius behind Silver Lining Foundation. You go to silverliningfoundation.org. Make sure that you are taking care of yourself so that, you know, whatever it is in your life, whether you have a family, that, you know, if you have kids, because often women are like, well, I've got too much to do. I don't have time for cancer. Well, I mean, cancer doesn't make time for you. It just happens.
Hear, hear.
And so,
and another one of your sayings I'm going to utilize.
Well, you know what's, you know, I need to start writing things down because I was talking to somebody. I didn't mean to bring this up here. We also have John Sobel from Max and Benny's. And before we get to our guests, because the room is filled with doctors, you and I were talking briefly about a caller we had last night who I didn't want to get angry. I didn't want to shame anybody about the conversation that we were having. And we'll talk more about it later. But here's where I am. I refuse to be angry all the time. I'd rather be disappointed than pissed off. So I don't lower my expectations. I hope that everyone will put their best, you know, foot forward, that everyone will take care of each other or be there for each other. I know it's, you know, maybe it's living up in la-la, you know, sort of a naive sort of way to live, but I'd rather be disappointed than pissed off. That's just the way it is.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and it's a wonderful way to live your life. And if only we could teach that lesson to more people, I think we would be have a happier
people.
World.
Yes.
There are a lot of angry
people. There's happy
people
coming into the room right now. Rob Martier and Esmeralda are going to enjoy some of the wonderful food from Max and Benny's. Thank you so much, John Sobel. And thank you to doctor. Are you, you're not a doctor, are you? All the you, me, and John are the only ones that are not doctors in the room right now.
I'm barely anybody.
You stop it. You're the world-renowned expert Steve Dale in the studio.
You know who's world renowned?
Dr. Sandy Goldberg.
Max and Benny's.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. It's all about the corned beef in my world.
You got to have some of the cookies. Oh, the corned beef is so good.
I know. I had no idea this is who it was in the studio. I would have gotten an autograph.
He's right there.
On a pastrami sandwich.
Oh, well, there you go. You can get that done
as
well.
I'll bring you pastrami sandwiches next time.
There really?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on Sunday mornings. Is that easier? Are Sunday mornings easier for you? No.
No, not really.
Not when I'm on.
And you have guests visiting from other parts of the country as well. I want to welcome Dr. Glenn Ola and Dr. Hello. Vicky Thayer and Dr. Nardone. So there you go.
Hello.
Sorry I'm making you share microphones. The guy who brings the really good food gets a microphone. we're very grateful to have you in studio. My apologies, but my gratitude for joining us late on this rainy evening. What brings you all? What's going on in town?
So these are all board members of the Wynn Feline Foundation. And we were talking off the air, so I asked Dr. Goldberg if she has a cat. She said yes. And everything about that cat, there isn't a thing about that cat that hasn't been that the Wynn Feline Foundation hasn't been involved in some way. Does your cat eat?
Oh, does my cat eat? Yes.
All right. So even what's in that cat food was not right, actually, when cat food was first originated. And cats were dying of a kind of heart disease called dilated cardiomyopathy. And it's the Wynn Feline Foundation. It's true. And it's the Wynn Feline Foundation that funded the study to determine there isn't enough taurine, which is an amino acid, which we can create on our own. Dogs can, but cats cannot, and the cats were dying as a result. So the Wynn Feline Foundation has had its hand in everything from vaccines to treatment of diseases, and the list really goes on. And these guys to my left, you're right, on the radio, would be much better at describing exactly what the Wynn Feline Foundation does. Dr. Ola?
Dr. Ola?
Well, I think our vision statement says it all, that every cat every day benefits from Wynn-funded research. And there's nothing that Steve was saying that's actually an exaggeration. It's actually true.
We never think he's exaggerating. He's just very dramatic.
Yeah, he's excited because it's something to be excited about.
Yes.
Because
he's
amazing,
very passionate.
To think.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, as we all are, I think at least I'm passionate when he starts hearing him talk, because he wasn't joking. I mean, taurine has to be in the cat food. Something to remember is that likely a dog can possibly eat cat food, but not the other way around, because dog foods doesn't have adequate taurine in it. People forget that cats are obligate carnivores. They have very special dietary needs. So there's a lot of little quirky things like that that are related to cats, cat medicine. Wynn's been around going on 50 years. And so from its start, it's been involved with every aspect of feline health, and things that you wouldn't even think about important. Wynn's there. Wynn's involved. So
talk about the symposium, Dr. Thayer.
Well, the symposium, this is our 39th, symposium, and we have probably speakers that are top in the feline medical world, and it's for 2 hours. It's very, very, one of the best couple of hours in continuing education, and this time, tomorrow, we have probably one of the best experts ever in feline infectious disease.
He wrote the book on cat health. And I know that because I've got the book. I mean, he wrote the book on cat health. This guy is a legend in veterinary medicine. His name is Niels Petersen. And what Dr. Thayer is about to tell anyone who has a cat will amaze you.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Petersen is going to be discussing. He's really kind of opened the door toward the potential treatment of treating feline infectious peritonitis, which is...
That's exciting.
Yes, because...
You don't look excited.
I don't know what it is.
Oh.
Well, it's a viral...
Oh, there's that.
Peritonitis?
Yeah, peritonitis, but it's...
I'm excited that I said it correctly. Yeah.
You did. It's a disease that oftentimes affects young cats, and it's almost inevitably fatal.
Ooh.
It's very difficult to treat. So it's a very heart-wrenching disease, you know, for families to deal with kitties that are young that should live long lives, and they're losing them at maybe 6 months of age. You know, that Aww. Just is not yep. right. And he's actually helping find reasons, you know, and ways that these cats can live normal cat lives.
And it's amazing the way and his thought process to come. So lots of things have been tried, everything but chicken soup over the years. In fact, literally, chicken soup was once tried. I mean, everything to solve this problem, because it's an immune-mediated disease, and it's so unique. And Dr. Nardone can tell us what Dr. Peterson has come up with.
So,
and it's not chicken soup.
It's not chicken soup. And so it's important to understand that FIP is caused by a virus. And it's similar in form to HIV and to hepatitis C, and that it's an RNA virus. And what Dr. Peterson has focused on is the fact that we're not going to be able to vaccinate against this disease and prevent it. And so he's focused on treatment of it. And his focus right now are inhibitors of viral replication. So similar to the way that we control hepatitis C and we control HIV, he's figured out a way to use a protease inhibitor to inhibit viral replication and stop the disease in its track.
Okay.
And it's such an odd disease. So Dr. Goldberg can explain that we all in this room have had a coronavirus, right?
What's
a common
a corona?
Cold.
Oh,
you know, caused by a coronavirus in humans. That's the effect on humans. In cats, and in you know, maybe Dr. Ola, you would do a better job of explaining all this. But in cats, essentially, they're pretty asymptomatic. I'll let you go from there.
Yeah, well, you know, well, go back to the human point you
sure.
were making. Actually, the virus that's similar, RNA virus that's similar to the FIP virus, coronaviruses, are SARS, which I think people have heard of. And MERS, and those came on the scenes, I'd say, 10, 15 years ago. They first thought those viruses were jumping species from cats, getting a bad rap, and that wasn't the case. Actually, from servals, but that's actually not a cat in China. So anyway,
so... Is this getting too crazy?
So yeah, getting a little crazy.
So
getting a little crazy. I think
So let me back up a step.
Sure.
Servals are sometimes called serval cats, and they're not related to cats at all. And
yeah.
you know, it's interesting, like a completely different thing here, the dog flu. So H3N8, which is one of the strains of dog flu, jumped species that didn't exist in dogs. Horses decided, or the virus in horses.
I was
going
to say, I don't know any horses that would decide to.
Why would they decide to make
to
a dog
host
sick?
A virus?
That would be
let's
a pretty
a,
silly
let's
decision.
Have a virus party.
So
on a horse.
The virus actually mutated and affected dogs, and that can happen. And this is what happened in serval cats that aren't even cats. Does that help at all?
No.
It helps, but the culprit actually turned out to be bats. He wanted to know.
Oh, no.
Had.
Now we're even getting... Horses. So getting back to what bats. FIP is.
Yeah, so...
Bats to cats, okay.
That, oh, sure.
It's like,
but,
it's like a
know,
Dr. Seuss
I what,
virus.
I think what Steve was getting at is that actually a coronavirus in cats is actually benign in most cases, causing some mild diarrhea in cats of any age, usually the kittens, young cats. It's often such a mild effect that owners might not even know that their cat even had a coronaviral infection. But in some cats, the virus can mutate. It can change itself and become more virulent, more pathogenic, whatever word you want to use, and then gain access to the body of a cat, but not all cats, maybe 5% of them, and then form evolve into this lethal, life-threatening infection. In
and
the
how
cats.
Common is this in the cat population?
So even if it's only 5%, that's millions of kittens, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing as well. So, well, it can affect any cat of any age. Overwhelmingly, it affects kittens. That's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for a lot of reasons. It's heartbreaking because they're little babies, but it's also heartbreaking because people often get a kitten. They're still mourning for the loss of the other cat they had.
Right.
That's why they're getting a kitten. I mean, it's horrible.
And how, you said that one of the symptoms is mild diarrhea. I mean, are there screenings?
Before it mutates and becomes pathogenic, then it actually might have mild symptoms like diarrhea.
Okay.
That's the coronavirus. And most often there are no symptoms that are discernible. Once it does this wacky doodle, technical word for you guys.
Wacky doodle. Do you also use that in your medical profession?
Absolutely.
Wacky doodle?
Absolutely. Mutation inside the body of the cat, and nobody exactly knows why that happens. I mean, there are some things that these cats have in common, but no one knows for sure why that happens in the percent of cat. Then we're talking about symptoms that are completely off the wall in some cases. And it's sad because some of these cats, depending on the type of FIP it is, go very, very quickly.
We are hanging out with Steve Dale and Dr. Sandy Goldberg and John Sobel from Max and Benny's. By the way, a silverliningfoundation.org is where you need to go to, and not just to find out information if you're concerned about yourself or someone in your family, but also how you can maybe volunteer or donate, be a part of the this wonderful organization.
Be a part of a Silver Lining Foundation's family. Absolutely.
Yes.
Just go on the web, as you said, asilverliningfoundation.org. Remember, if anyone out there listening, Patty, needs access to breast health testing, mammograms, diagnostics, even a biopsy, make sure that you call us at 312-345-1322. We will help.
Excellent. And John Sobel of Max and Benny's, maxandbennys.com. I know we have some calls coming in. I'm not sure who it's going to be for, so you have to hold on. But we are talking to the folks at the Win Feline Foundation, including the newly elected president, Dr. Nardone. Is it Sheila?
Mm-hmm. Sheila.
You left an E out of
I
your
know.
Name. Just kidding. You probably get called Shyla just about everywhere you go.
Yes, I do.
But I went with Sheila. What it would be in Spanish, because just I sounds like an E. That's why I went that way. I'm
cool.
Just, but it's
that's
it's,
right. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's kind of an Irish name. But anyway.
Where are you going with this?
I know. I know no one can see you in front of me, but when I get a list of things, I'm fascinated by it. It's also the way I remember people's names is if there is a unique spelling to it. It helps me out a little bit. Like for you, I would ask if we were first meeting, I would ask if it's Sandy with an I or with a Y. That helps me remember.
I see.
It's harder when someone's name is like Steve, and I'm like, is that with an S? We are more up to this on 720 WGN. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fix this one.
Do I look like a cat to you, boy? Am I jumping around all nimbly-bimbly from tree to tree?
No.
Trying to make sure your cat doesn't get cat scratch fever. Is there something called cat scratch fever, all my friends from Win Feline Foundation?
There absolutely is. It's caused by Bartonella henselae.
That's what I was thinking. Fever. That was on the top of
bacteria.
My tongue.
Yep.
Barcelona henselae.
Bartonella henselae.
Bartonella henselae.
You're 50% now.
The Nuge surprisingly has another song called Bartolina henselae on a B-side track, though.
Yeah, it's a deep cut. Oh, man, we are hanging out with Steve Dale, the world-renowned pet expert.
Oh, I don't
Steve
know about that.
Steve Dale goes Steve Dale Pet World. Pet World?
Yeah, yeah.
.com.
Right. Yeah.
I'll finish the rest of that thought right there.
Yep, perfect.
I'm distracted by the corned beef from Max and Benny's.
I don't blame you.
It's so good.
And the studio has never smelled so good.
And the pickles. Thanks. I mean, I do my best. I wear a little vanilla musk. You're saying that doesn't do it for you when you come in here?
Oh, no, it's not like corned beef.
All right, I know, right?
I know.
Fine, I'll start rubbing that behind my ears just for you.
I'd be pleased.
This got really weird very quickly. See, it Dr. happens. Sandy Goldberg leaves, and the whole thing unravels.
I know, it's I know. All... You had lost class.
And well, we one less doctor was really what we've lost. But we have three doctors in the room. We have Doctor the immediate past president. I love the bio. Did you send me this? The immediate past president.
Yes.
Do you go by that? The immediate past president when you introduce yourself, Doctor Ola.
As of noon today.
Hello, I am the immediate past president of the Win Feline.
We all went to a White Sox game last night. We really did, the whole group of us on the board.
How'd that go?
And it was, well, when we got on the train, the guy on the train said, "Here is the immediate past president." It's true.
So, well, you should be accolades everywhere you go. It should be on all kinds of announcements. And so turning the reins over to the present president, Do you have to say it that way also? Present,
the present
president?
President.
The present president? Since you're the immediate past president. Dr. Sheila Nordone, who is now the immediate president. How's that?
Yes. The immediate.
Is there a ceremony for handing over the reins?
We had nothing.
Nothing. Sort of.
Oh, it's coming.
Dr. Vicky Thayer has plans.
Oh.
I see her. Uh-oh. Hold on. There is a special marine warning, by the way, for Burns Harbor to Michigan City, Indiana. Gary to Burns Harbor, Indiana. Calumet Harbor, Illinois to Gary, Indiana. Northerly Island to Calumet Harbor. And that's also Wilmette Harbor. All the harbors. I'm thinking be very careful along all the harbors. Northerly Island and Winthrop Harbor to Wilmette Harbor. So these are, right now there are some warnings out there that begins at 11:58 and ending at 1:58. And that is from the National Weather Service. So there you go. I have to make sure that people know about those things. Just like you guys are. So tell me about the symposium you guys are in town for. And is this open to the public, or is this all for the professionals in the cat world?
Well, it's definitely open to veterinarians. We have a large number of what we call cat fanciers. Mm-hmm. They're the purebred cat breeders. And yes, the public, we're going to have a really large group of people and a lot of public members. And I think really exciting is we're also going to have some of the people present whose cats have been recently treated with this new treatment, the protease inhibitors that we talked about, and their cats are thriving and doing well, and they're really excited to support Dr. Peterson and hear what he has to say.
We'll learn more about that. That's for treating peritonitis.
Yeah.
And which had previously been largely fatal to cats who suffered from it. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Rob Martier and Esmeralda, did you get a chance to enjoy some of the wonderful treats from Max and Benny's, courtesy of John Sobel?
Oh, yes. My God, Max and Benny's is so good.
That corned beef,
you,
man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right? The corned beef is ridiculous. What did you end up with, Rob?
Let's see, tuna, the beef.
Yes.
Some pickles.
Oh, my God, the pickles are good.
Some tater salad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, all that happened. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of our potato salad. Oh, it's so good.
It's really, really good. And
Max and Benny's are so close to me. I love it.
There you go. Yep. Just priming the pump, as they say.
Go.
Go
to Max and Benny's.
Get you to Max and Benny's. And our guests in the studio, I've been offering them some of it. But they're on the air, so they have not gone into the producer's booth to get some of the treats. Steve Dale has brought some of his friends that are in town for what is the name of the event?
The Wynn Feline Foundation Symposium. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we went to the baseball game, as I mentioned. So the Chicago White Sox think so much of the Wynn Feline Foundation that on the scoreboard they said, "Welcome to the Wynn Feline Foundation."
And the crowd went crazy.
Well,
the group went crazy.
We went crazy.
Yeah.
12 of us went crazy.
Did you get a photo of it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You got to be quick with that. You got to be quick with the photo.
Show you at the break.
Did the Sox win?
Absolutely.
Yes, they did.
Absolutely. Are you not anybody a baseball fan?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And who's your team?
Oakland A's.
The Oakland A's. All right. And Dr. Nordone?
The New York Mets.
Okay, then, fine.
I know, right?
Dr. Ola?
The Toronto Blue Jays.
All right. That's
he doesn't even live in Toronto. Go figure that
out.
He
lives, why he Toronto?
Lives in Albuquerque.
It's the only Canadian team. Like,
he's not Canadian either.
Are the Blue Jays the only Canadian team? I thought there was another one.
There was the Expos, but they're gone.
Used to be.
They're now the Nationals.
I have such blinders on that I'm like, are the Expos gone? I don't even know. It's a good point. Where are you from originally, Dr. Ola?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Really? Yes. Your whole life? Have you ever lived anywhere else?
No. I was an Air Force brat, so I've been around.
What were some of your favorite places as a kid?
Germany was good. New Mexico is definitely good.
You like New Mexico?
Oh, I love New Mexico. Northern New Mexico is great. Got the mountains, got the desert.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of everything.
And how about yourself, Dr. Nordone? Where are you from originally?
Born and raised in New York State, mm-hmm. but have lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for most of my life.
Really? Yes. What brought you down to Raleigh, North Carolina?
When I was a kid, my dad's job, IBMer.
Yeah. What? IBMer?
IBMer.
IBM. I didn't know that was an adjective, an IBMer.
IBMer.
Now I know. What kind of work did he do for IBM?
He was a mathematician, statistician way back in the day.
Whoa.
And so they moved a lot of people out of Fishkill, New York to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
And I was 13 and we moved.
Did your dad want you to do math? Did he try? Did he have
Originally they wanted me to be an engineer, but mm-hmm. I love biology. I love the life sciences. So I think I failed them.
Please. I don't think they would think of you as a failure at all.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Oh, gosh. I can't. These are brilliant. These three people are brilliant people.
Well, our third brilliant person is Dr. Vicki Thayer. Dr. Vicki, where are you from originally?
Lubbock. I was born and raised in Lebanon, Oregon, and that's where I live now.
Have you lived anywhere else?
Oh, yes. I've lived up and down the West Coast. So I've lived in Washington State mm-hmm. and 20 years down in San Francisco Bay Area and Walnut Creek.
Was it the hills in San Francisco that drove you? You're like, it's just, there's the walking, it seems like it's all uphill in San Francisco.
It can be. It's pretty hilly, but over in the Walnut Creek area, it's a bit more flat.
Okay,
so,
good. All right. Yeah, because sometimes it feels like you're walking perpendicular. Like, am I walking straight up on a 90-degree angle? What is happening?
I spent the day walking in San Francisco. I don't think I got anywhere. I don't know.
It's all treadmill.
I know. I'm walking uphill. Nothing seemed to be getting closer.
No, I agree. It's a great place. I've never been to Oregon or Washington. I've been to Albuquerque. My sister lived there for a bit. And North Carolina, not in Raleigh, but I love North Carolina. It's
beautiful beaches.
Beautiful
and, mountains.
And wonderful people.
Yes.
You hesitated for a moment. Yes.
For the most part, yes.
Well, you know what? They're wonderful people everywhere for the most part, I guess, yes. Right? I guess you could say that of anywhere that we are. So what got you into your field, Dr. Thayer?
Well, I was actually raised on a small farm, mm-hmm. and I raised livestock, sheep and cattle. And so I always wanted to be in medicine, and because of that exposure to animals, I went in. I pretty much in high school decided I wanted to be a veterinarian, and graduating, I ended up in companion animal practice, and things evolved to where I went into feline practice only, actually in 1979. So I've been exposed to cats in that aspect for many, many years.
And what has changed throughout your career that you would say has been the most surprising or enlightening for you? Because there's been so much progress.
Yeah, I think that so much more... In practicing with cats, that the medicine has evolved and people have understood the nature of cats and what medical needs that they have. And I hate to, kind of keep going back to what Wynn has offered through the research, but it's been hand in hand with what we need for practice. And again, it's just the awareness and understanding of cats and how important they are for our lives.
That's wonderful work that you guys are doing. And Dr. Nardone, what got you into the veterinary? Oh, you said you were fascinated by biology.
I started out in animal science, and I've stayed in veterinary schools all the way through my training. And cats in particular. I mean, I they're the most popular pet in the country. I don't think we really appreciate that there's more.
Steve Dale has told us that
to many, many times.
Every time he says it, people are like, "No way,
no way."
I think
now there's proof.
Yes, there you go.
But going through school in the context of veterinary schools and being around veterinarians like Vicki and like Glenn, I have a very strong appreciation for veterinarians and veterinary medicine. And the Wynn Feline Foundation has been instrumental in really helping people understand that cats are not small dogs.
Oh,
that
gosh.
They need very specific medicine and therapies and treatments. And it's really taken us a very, very long way in veterinary medicine.
That's remarkable. And Dr. Ola, what brought you to the veterinary profession?
I was a late bloomer. So I actually was in biophysics and got a PhD in biophysics and changed careers, sort of sidestepped. And, got out of basic research and got into first clinical research and fell in love with clinical practice, feline medicine in particular. My mother was the cat lady on the block growing up, so cats were always around, and I always loved cats, always have had cats. So sort of just combined everything. So
I love that. I love that your mom was the cat lady. Does that mean like all the strays came to
That's exactly what it means.
All right, just checking. I mean, I think everyone has a different idea. Do you have cats or just dogs?
I have a cat too. You have a cat, a couple dogs,
but and reptiles too?
Pardon me?
Do you have reptiles?
Yes.
I thought so.
A skink.
Well, I'm sorry, what'd you call me?
Is it too late? Is it late enough where I could say that?
Esmeralda, did that sound like what it sounded like? Yeah, it's by the way, skink. I'm thinking of something else.
I think you are.
Ez, have you ever had a reptile, Ez?
Oh, gross, no.
Oh.
Sorry. They're okay to look at. I don't want to touch them.
I should bring Cosette in sometime. I think we've talked about
I'll stay
that,
up
and
here.
I've not done that.
Yeah. That is a lot of rain that's coming down
it
outside,
really
by the
is.
Way.
It's a lot.
There's storm warnings for DuPage and Cook County beginning at 11:56, which is a while ago, and it should be ending at 12:41. So we will continue to monitor the weather. But that seems, okay, can I just say it's coming down? I've been in the studio for many years.
You're not going to say like cats and dogs.
I was actually looking at the way it's coming down the windows. I haven't seen it come down like that ever that I've been here, like in sheets along the glass.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
New glass cleaner?
I know. That's what it looks like is when the guy comes through with like that squeegee thing when he cleans it at one or two in the morning. But this is it's coming in hard and heavy. So please, everyone, be careful on the roads.
Yeah.
We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. We are hanging out with the wonderful folks from the Wynn Feline Foundation. They're in town for a symposium, and we want to find out more about where people can learn about their cats and the work that you guys are doing when we come back in just a moment. Give us a call anytime, 312-981-7200. Steve Dale's here too. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
And John Sobel from Max and Benny's.
Hello. Ooh.
I've had way too much potato salad. I'm going to have more. Feel a little frisky. That all works because corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my girl frisky. And cats are frisky. They actually make a cat food called Friskies, don't they? Isn't there?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And does it have enough taurine in it? I'm just checking. Taurine. I don't.
Yes, it does.
All right then.
So because of that study that was done, and by the way, back in the day, I way before my time, but I'm told that people thought the investigator, Dr. Paul Payan, was crazy for thinking not enough taurine in cat food. Well, it turned out, of course, he was right, but we were the only organization to fund him. But everything, you've heard of feline leukemia,
mm-hmm.
the understanding of that. The first funding for that came from the Wynn Feline Foundation. Mm-hmm. Diabetes in cats.
Is there still concern over toxoplasma?
Yes, and Dr. Ola can talk about that.
Yeah, toxoplasma, the cats are actually the primary host for that parasite. But, you read a lot about people thinking that this parasite causes schizophrenia or autism and these things.
Or birth defects, right.
I haven't heard that, but okay. But
well,
yeah.
I mean, like autism would be considered.
Okay, fine.
A birth effect,
sure,
yeah.
Sure. But recent studies have shown, or a lot of mixed studies, but recent studies have shown that it's not true, this connection that's been published. Mm-hmm. And so,
it got me out of changing cat litter for both my pregnancies. So let's just go ahead and preserve that for women and not have to.
No. During the final trimester, right? It can cause birth defects.
Right.
But there's a couple things. First of all, I believe that according to the CDC, toxoplasmosis, you're more likely to get it from gardening or from improperly cooked meat than from a cat in the first place. And what I tell people is the dude who got you in that condition, let him change the litter.
That's what I'm saying. Got you in that condition. Yeah. I like the way you, what are we in the 50s? The guy that got you in the condition, Esmeralda, is going to be out in the waiting room with a cigar. We'll let you know when it's over.
They used to do that. Can you believe that?
The guy who put the bun in your oven, let that guy take care of it. I love you, Steve Dale. We have a listener on the line who has a cat question. Hey, Sean, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from DeKalb. Right?
Oh, good to hear from you. What did you want to ask our good feline folks?
Well, I just tuned in, and I realized that you had someone that specializes in cats. And recently, I basically inherited a cat, and she had an overgrowth problem, was licking herself to the point where she was raw. And so this is a new cat to us. We had to take her to the vet, and we're trying to get things checked out. We ultimately came up with a skin biopsy, which was recommended to eliminate problems. And we discovered she had an autoimmune disease. There's a very technical name for it, which I don't have, but I believe it was rodent ulcers. is what it was called. It's kind of the generic term for it.
Everyone in the studio, mm-hmm. well, at least Dr. Ola and Steve Dale are nodding their heads.
Yeah, sure.
And,
yeah.
And also now Dr. Thayer is also nodding her head. Dr. Nardone is waiting for the rest of the information before she gives any sort of gesture.
I'm looking at, she I'm wants looking to, at Glenn.
She's, oh, okay. she's withholding.
Glenn gets the answer.
She's got a poker face, but everybody else, me and John are like, well, sure, they're nodding. Okay, I'm sorry, Sean. I don't mean to make light of the situation that you're going through with your cat. Go ahead.
It's great. We're making progress, trying to figure out exactly what to do. This is a new vet to us, and she seems like she's relatively new. So I just to get a second opinion. It was great to call in right now. Basically, she recommended Atopica, which is a medication, and putting her on
a steroid, maybe? Like prednisone?
I think he's talking about a hypoallergenic type diet.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hyperallergenic. So, because it was often set off by, an allergy. We don't know the allergy, and I understand there's still tests for that. We've done a lot of research online trying to figure that out, which is something we want to look down the road. But right now, we just want to relieve her symptoms. So she's not doing it. I mean, she has to live in a shirt constantly, but yet still able to get to parts of her body where she's over-grooming and she has open sores. Fortunately, it's gotten a little better, but I'm looking for a solution to the problem long-term.
Well, how long has she been on the Atopica?
We've only been on the Atopica for a week.
So it's something to – yeah, so – That can be an effective medication for controlling the itchiness, but it usually takes 4 to 6 weeks to really kick in. So you wouldn't really expect benefit within that 1 week time frame. But yes, I mean, when you said rodent ulcer, usually what's referred by the rodent ulcer is that big old lesion on the upper lip. And I don't know if that's also part of your cat's symptoms, but that's the term usually used for that particular lesion. And this is what you're describing, itchy cat, usually does mean allergy cats, assuming you ruled out parasites and some other things like that. But it's a part of a complex called eosinophilic granulomatous syndrome. And basically, it's truly just an allergic reaction. The first things that I tell my clients is get rid of the plastic and stuff. I just want to make things a little bit cleaner as far as bowls that you feed or feeding out of, water bowls. Make sure they're like ceramic or things like that. And then it is difficult to find out what the cat's actually allergic to. This is an allergic reaction. So, but the first thing you do is you do what's called a food trial, the hyperallergenic diet. Okay, and that's basically if you feed something the cat has not been exposed to before, usually the meat component, is it chicken, fish, beef, or whatever, then you want to feed a meat component that they've never eaten before, something like rabbit and peas or venison and peas or something like this.
The way you talk, I'm so hungry now.
Yeah. But anyways, but as far as symptomatic relief at this point, I don't always like to go to steroids. You don't want to go to these super high doses of steroids that can suppress the immune system, but you go to an anti-inflammatory dose. Prednisolone for a short term until, for instance, you let Atopica kick in if you want to do it that way. But you need to rule out the food first, because if you can find the right diet that doesn't cause the symptoms, then your kitty's going to be fine.
And it's also really important to use the veterinary diets versus over-the-counter foods that you buy in pet food stores.
Point.
Because even though pet food stores may advertise these foods as single-source protein diets, quite often they're not.
It's meat byproducts.
Yes.
So
veterinary diets have been proven to – the things you buy from your veterinarian have been shown to be just sole-source protein.
I think the other thing I would recommend is it's always good to use parasite control – flea treatment, be on a consistent treatment for, fleas, because a lot of cats are allergic to fleas, and you want to control that particular problem. And I have had some cats with this, syndrome that do respond, in addition to like Atopica or corticosteroids, they'll respond to certain antibiotics because there can be surface infections going on at the same time.
Can I ask?
Okay, she's gotten a couple antibiotic shots over the course of this. Also, as well, we have her on a Hill's, I believe it's called KZ or DZ diet or something along those lines, which is supposed to be hypoallergenic. We just started that course, and I know atopic, it takes a little time to set in, so I'm aware of that. But you're comfortable with using Atopica over the course of her lifetime or whatever's necessary?
Right. I personally don't go to Atopica first. That's my personal choice as a veterinarian. I go to the low-dose prednisolone just to give them symptomatic relief right now. I can tell you that most likely your cat's not getting as much relief at this point because the time frame's not right of the medications chosen. The antibiotic shots are probably a medicine called sevovecin. And it's very good for staph infections, which can be a part of that. And that's probably gone, but your cat's still itchy because right. The allergy's making your cat itchy. Something to remember regarding the food trial, we're talking 8 to 12 weeks to get those antigens, usually the protein that's causing the allergy in the cat, if it's the food allergy. So you need to talk to everyone in your family, too, to make sure nobody's sneaking treats. You have to think about everything going in to this kitty as far as their diet and their caloric intake.
Control all the variables.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then you have to be patient. So you can see what I do is I'll put them on a lower dose of prednisolone, not thinking long term of this corticosteroid, to give them immediate relief, and then taper it quickly over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and then slowly see how they're doing, and reevaluate in that 4 to 8 week time frame.
Thank you so much for calling, Sean. I hope that helps, and we wish you the best of luck with your cat. Michael, you said we have also a text that wanted to pose a question.
Yes, we do. Let me pull it up real quick. All right, so we have from the 815. They ask, my kittens are sneezy. Now, the vet said that that's the herpes virus, and it doesn't need to be treated. Is this correct?
There's a herpes virus that makes kittens sneeze?
Supposedly through this text message.
Well, getting more nods around the studio. Okay. Yes. Except for me and John Sobel. We're just like, I don't know.
I just snicker, it's a very serious problem for these cats.
Well, yes, herpes virus, pretty common problem, for cats. It's
The Wynn Foundation has funded what we know about it, what Dr. Thayer is about to tell you, has been funded by the Wynn Foundation.
Brought to you by the Wynn Foundation. Here is a Dr. Thayer.
Well, I assume what Steve is talking about, one, there have been different medications like probiotics. Dr. Lappin has talked about and done research on the use of probiotics, mm-hmm. trying to help cats, long term as far as a non-antibiotic, non-antiviral type medication to treat, upper respiratory infections like the herpes virus. I usually would say if the kittens are just sneezing and really seem to be, asymptomatic in some respects as far as they're eating well, there's no snotty noses, really bad runny eyes, a lot of times it'll run its course, so it really depends on how severe, of symptoms that they have.
And it comes back sometimes under stress. So, around tax time. there's just certain times where, no, really, stress seems to precipitate.
Well, I can imagine. Well, being a kitten, it can be very stressful.
Or the thought of seeing a veterinarian in the future.
I know. Sometimes. I know. Man, sometimes. That waiting room has got the stories those walls could not want to share with anybody. We are hanging out with the folks from the Wynn Feline Foundation. Dr. Sheila Nordone, Dr. Glenn Ola, immediate past president is his official title. Executive Director, Dr. Vicki Thayer. More in just a moment. We'll find out about the symposium, and if you want to get involved with the foundation, we want to know how you can do that. More in just a moment.